This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina's rural counties were not among the first states, first in the state, to experience COVID-19 outbreaks. But those counties are feeling it now and with greater intensity. Death rates are reportedly higher in rural communities than in suburban and urban parts of the state, and there are a number of factors that contribute to that disparity. Reporter Ames Alexander's been investigating the uptick and the underlying causes for the Charlotte Observer, and he's with us now. Ames, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. There are 80 rural counties in the state, and the Charlotte Observer found that 33 out of 100,000 residents in those counties had died of COVID-19 as of September 9th. So how does that compare to urban and suburban counties in the state?
So in suburban counties, the rate was 26 per 100,000, and in rural counties, urban counties, it was 24. So there was a significant difference.
Well, how the COVID-19 was slow to reach rural communities. What has changed?
Well, it's clearly while there were not great numbers initially, that began to change in May in particular. And what we saw is that while there were lots of new rural cases, those who were diagnosed with COVID in rural areas were more likely to die than those in urban and suburban areas. And in some counties, I mean, the disparities are quite remarkable. There are some counties out east where the death rates are four times the death rate in Wake County. So it's pretty significant.
And let's make that distinction now, because initially I talked about 33 of 100,000 residents, but you're talking about the death rate among those who tested positive or who were infected, right? So that's a different rate.
Yeah. I mean, that's a different rate. But the numbers that you talked about, yes, that's a per capita rate.
Right. So my question is the death rate among those infected also higher? And I think you just answered that
yes.
among those who get infected in rural areas, you're more likely to die than you are in urban areas, at least statistically.
That's right. Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on, because you took a few of those rural counties and a close look, including Hertford County and Stanley County, both of which have significantly higher death rates. What were those numbers?
In Hertford, it was 95 deaths per 100,000. So that, I believe, was the highest rate in the state. And in Stanley County, which is just 40 miles to the east of Charlotte, it was 85 per 100,000, and that's roughly three times the rate in Mecklenburg.
Let's see if we can figure out what's going on. You spoke to a health care director in Hertford County, Kim Swartz, who recently attended a funeral there. So what were some of the things she saw?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things at play here. I mean, in a lot of the rural areas, there are more food processing plants and prisons and nursing homes where cramped conditions and other factors have contributed to the virus's spread. But Kim Swartz and others talked about more systemic problems in rural areas. The populations in these counties tend to be older. They tend to have more underlying health problems that make them vulnerable to COVID. And they tend to be poor. And they also tend to have less access to health care. In Stanley County, the health clinic director talked about how some people have no working cars and are more than 15 miles from the nearest hospital. And there are more uninsured people in rural areas. But getting back to your question, there are also, you still see some different attitudes among some people in rural areas. Kim talked about attending a recent funeral where 125 people packed into this small church. Very few of them were wearing masks. And, you know, the pastor walked around the church shaking hands. So Kim Schwartz and others believe there still needs to be some progress in terms of preventative efforts in these counties.
Yeah, I mean, the combination of factors is, I think, sort of very important to point out. You talk about, and I just to go over them again, access to health care. The access is not as good in the rural areas. You have underlying conditions. It tends to be an older population. So all of that makes the population, not to mention workplace. There are more meatpacking plants and other kinds of work, as you point out, and as your article in the Charlotte Observer points out, the kind of work that people can't do from home. More of that tends to be in rural areas. So all of that adds to the vulnerability. And then you get to some of the ideas about this and behavioral kinds of issues, including the funeral and also a birthday party, I guess, in Columbus County. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the health director in Columbus County told me about a birthday party in that county in May. And that was attended by 29 people. None of them were wearing masks. 25 of the 29 wound up getting infected with COVID-19, and then two of them died. And if you look at the death rate in that county, it's also extremely high. It's about 92 for every 100,000.
We talk about access. I mean, when we think about access in rural areas, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is distances, how far you have to go to the nearest hospital. So I'll ask you to talk a little bit about that. But then what about the hospitals in those rural areas? Are they as equipped as other hospitals to manage COVID cases?
They certainly have less experience treating patients with COVID-19 than some of the larger urban hospitals do, and you know that's clearly part of this as well.
Talk about some of these underlying conditions too. We sort of stamped it as a broad category, but pre-existing medical conditions in rural areas. Tell us more about those.
Yeah, we're talking about the kinds of chronic health problems like diabetes, congestive heart failure, these sorts of problems that tend to make people more at risk for, you know, serious complications from COVID-19. Unfortunately, you tend to see more people with those kinds of health problems in rural areas. And that was certainly true of a guy by the name of Robert Strickland in Burke County. I wrote about what happened to him and his family. And Robert Strickland was 79, and he had diabetes, and he was a smoker. And his son caught COVID, went into a coma, went into the hospital, and woke from the coma, fortunately, and came back from the hospital. And that should have been a happy occasion for the family. But on that very day, the dad went into the hospital and with COVID, and he died of COVID a couple of days later.
So this all adds up, and as you have found, much higher mortality death rates because of COVID. And we talked a little bit about the labor conditions, but again, let's go into a little more detail about what's different in those rural areas.
And I'm sorry, did you say the labor?
Labor. Condition? We're talking about working conditions, the kind of work that's being done, and I guess broad access to broadband, a lot of things come into play, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are fewer people who are able to stay home and work an office job in rural areas. More of the jobs that are worked in those areas tend to be essential jobs where people have to show up. And some of the jobs where they show up, places like poultry plants, you know, people are working shoulder to shoulder right next to each other. And it's the kind of environment that where transmission is quite easy.
Is the state taking any measures to ensure rural communities are better protected?
I talked to the state epidemiologist, and he told me the state is, in fact, trying to improve access to testing in rural areas. In July, the Department of Health and Human Services launched a program to set up hundreds of no-cost testing sites for underserved Black and Latinx and American Indian communities. So that should help. But the experts I talked to generally felt more could be done to improve access to health care in those areas and to raise awareness of, you know, the risks.
Ames Alexander, an investigative reporter for the Charlotte Observer. Ames, thanks for talking with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org.